I'd like to start by saying that my sermon title is Keep Serving, Keep Praying, and Keep Calling on the Name of the Lord. Keep serving, keep praying, and keep calling on the name of the Lord. And the text is just one verse, a simple verse that says, "And let not us be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Amen. I want to say that from the first day that I joined church till now, I've never grown tired of serving the Lord. I enjoy myself when I come to church. I find, because when I look back at where I came from, it's so much better. The life that I have found in Christ is so much better than what I came from. And there's nothing to go back to. I don't worry about what's out there. I don't wonder about it. Because I know, I have came to understand the value of salvation. We live in a world that don't value salvation. They don't value God, blessings. We don't value what the church has to offer. And we can tell by how many churches today are that don't have many members or many congregants in their churches. But I just want to say this. One of the things that I've learned is that there's an award that awaits me, that I don't labor in vain when I come, and whatever I do in church or whatever service that I might do, it's not in vain. See, Jesus came to die for us that we may have life, and that we may have life more abundantly. 1 Peter 4:1 says, "For so much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he hath suffered in the flesh, hath ceased from sin." I've heard so many preach the gospel where everything is wonderful all the time. But as I read the Bible, the Bible says that the Lord suffered. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I think that is amazing, that when people talk about how we're going to prosper and how everything is going to be wonderful from now on, if you just give your life to Christ, everything's going to be beautiful. Well, I just want to say this to you, that the world tells us if it makes you feel good, if it and do what is right for you, the Bible tells us the complete opposite. The Lord tells us that he had so much that he said to himself, "I'm going to build two barns because I have much goods. And I will put everything in my barns, and I'm going to take my ease." And the Lord said to him that night, "Fool, tonight your soul is required of you." And then there was another man, a rich young ruler. He was young. He was rich. And he said to the Lord, he says, "What must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven?" So Jesus told him, "Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and afterward follow after me." The Bible says this young man went away sad.
Right.
He had it all. Not only was he rich, not only was he young, but he was a ruler. Mm-hmm. So he was powerful also.
Right.
All the money in the world can't buy you a place in heaven. Right. All the power in the world, you can't force your way into heaven. You must enter in through the gate. You can only enter in. Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. The fourth verse of Galatians says, wherein of Peter, wherein they might think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. You know, when you walk away from your friends and the world and all the things that you used to do, they start talking about you. You think you're better than us now. You ain't got time for your friends no more. If you're scared, go to church. I've been told that. If you're scared, go to church. You know what I learned? I'm not afraid of what they think anymore. I'm more afraid of what God thinks. The Bible say, fear not he who that can destroy the body, but fear him that can destroy the body and the soul. And that's the Lord. The Lord is the only one that can condemn your sin. He's the only one that can forgive your sin. I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. A lot of times people have a tendency to criticize those of us that believe, or those of us that are putting our time into church or whatever, because they are only living in the flesh. But you know, one of the things I have found out is that if the Lord is on my side, who can be against me? Psalms 18:6 says, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? You know, oftentimes people were like, I heard that it said the devil was walking around like a roaring lion. And the key phrase is that, like a roaring lion. Jesus is the Lion of Judah. The devil can't make you do anything. The devil only entice you to do the things that you already want to do. But the devil, he walks around like a roaring lion. Peter says, beloved, think it's not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, insomuch as ye are partakers in Christ's suffering, that when this glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. But let none suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's affairs. Yet if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Now, I'm not implying that we enjoy suffering, but I am saying that suffering for Christ is not in vain, but to his glory. Keep serving. It's not in vain. Keep praying, because it's not in vain. And keep on calling out to the name of the Lord, because it's not in vain, because we serve a risen Savior.
Right.
we serve a Savior that hear our every plea and pities every groan.
Right. Right.
When I was working, in my heart, I always knew that if I went ahead and said a few cuss words or gave in to the idea of not going back to church and wanting to be part of, if I would put work first and give in so they could say, see, I told you, all that stuff he's talking is fake. All that church stuff is fake. He's just like the rest of us. He just out here after the money, and you know, and just if I wanted to be like them, I could have fit right in. All of the disrespect and the things I had to go through with everybody, they would have been just as happy for me to join in with them. But you know, one of the things I found was that it was well worth it for me to suffer as a Christian rather than to go back or to give up,
right,
or to accept that way of life. Because when you suffer for Christ, it's never in vain. I won't tell nobody that you won't suffer as a Christian, but I will tell you that it's not in vain.
Yeah, right.
When we pray, I want to just to share experience with you that I actually went through. I was praying for there was a condo that I really liked, and I wanted to get it. And because I was single, I wanted to use my VA loan. I didn't qualify for it. I needed another. I needed a spouse, another income to pay to qualify, and I couldn't use a brother or a relative. It had to be a spouse. And so what happened was I didn't qualify to buy this condo, but I prayed about it, and I went on about my business. And anybody remember the earthquake and? January 17th of 1994. Well, there were some people living in this condo that was from outside of California that had never experienced an earthquake. And when that happened, they just left the place. They left. They moved out of the state. And a lot of the prices on the housing went down. And then later on, when I went back there, I reapplied, and this time I qualified for the loan. And then when I remember praying this prayer, I was already living there, and I was sitting down having dinner, getting ready to pray over my meal when I began to realize that, you know, I had prayed for this place. I couldn't afford it, but God shifted the atmosphere and changed some things around, and here I was sitting in what I was praying for.
Right.
And you know, I'm saying that I hope you write down what you pray for. So that when it happens, that you recognize it.
Yeah.
You know, I began to see, I can look back on my life today and say that when I first joined church, there was a lot of violence in my life. Today I have peace in my life. It don't even seem like the same person.
Yeah.
It really don't. You know, I've ran into people that knew me when I was younger that still don't like me because they see me as the same person. And I was talking to someone and they were saying something, and I realized, I said, you know, don't get mad because they just don't see the change that has occurred in my life. Probably because they probably haven't changed. You know, I want a question for you. When is the best time to pray? And where's the best place to pray? I just want to say you can pray anytime.
Right.
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
It's always time to pray.
It's always time.
I pray around the clock. Mm-hmm. I was driving for a living, and I was it was a lot of getting cut off and getting cussed out and a lot of stuff going on in that job. Well, I didn't have time to posture, to pray, to get down on my knees. While I'm driving, I can't close my eyes. Or you know, bow down my head.
Right.
But I have learned to go to him in secret.
Right.
God says if you pray to him in secret, he will reward you openly. And I have found that it's always time to pray. You know, I heard that they took prayer out of school. Well, I just want to tell you, they took public prayer out of school. But you can always pray wherever you are. If you're a Christian, you can go to him in secret. You don't have to pray out loud and in public. In fact, I prefer praying to God. God says, you pray to me privately. Go to your prayer closet, and I will reward you openly. And so I believe in praying privately to God anyway. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. Whatever you do to the glory of God, if you're a street sweeper, be a street sweeper for God's glory.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you do,
right,
do it for God's glory. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed daily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many of us don't have perfect health. But I've come to understand that the inward man is being renewed daily. When I was when I first became a member of a church, and it was in New Haven Baptist Church under Reverend Dr. Jeffrey Joseph, he would tell us to go and visit with the sick, and that was part of our responsibility. And as I was visiting with the sick, something happened. They blessed me. Mm-hmm. I would go in and visit with somebody that was struggling, breathing in the hospital, struggling from day to day. And they would just be just as happy just to be able to breathe good that day.
Right.
They would be happy to be able to get up out of bed and walk around. While I found a lot of people that didn't have no trouble at all complaining.
Right, right.
And I just became to appreciate that people that didn't necessarily have good health, I came to understand that the inner man is being renewed daily.
Yeah.
And so while we might have afflictions and while we might have pain, God is still blessing.
Yeah.
God is still blessing. Because somebody is sick don't mean that God is not blessing them,
right, right,
that God is not with them.
Right, right,
you know,
right.
In fact, you know, God is the one that brings us through.
Right.
Not only brings us through, but we can still have joy in the midst of our sorrows.
Yep, yep.
I know when I was away working, I was struggling because I have problems with my back, and it was a lot of luggage and stuff that I had to load and unload. But you know, I found all these young people helping me all the time. When I pulled into the service or whatever, they weren't allowed to do so. But at one point, they just started. To where they just started to get us in and out faster, or even just to help us, they would start helping it, just about doing all the luggage themselves. And so I was able to work a lot longer because of their help. But what I'm saying is, though the outward man is perishing, the inner man is being renewed daily.
Mm-hmm.
The verse says, "For our light affliction, which is but a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly the eternal weight of glory."
Right.
"For he that soweth in the flesh shall reap in the flesh corruption, but he that soweth in the Spirit shall reap in the Spirit everlasting." "And let us not grow weary of well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not."
Mm-hmm.
You know, we exist on the spiritual plane and on the spiritual plane at the same time. One of the things I've come to understand is while we struggle to get by from paycheck to paycheck, and while we might have poor health, one of the things I found out is that God's Spirit, you have more than most. When we live in God's Spirit, we have more than most.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you only have enough to make it from paycheck to paycheck, and you have God's Spirit, you are doing better than most. We as Christians are living on two different planes, spiritual and physical, more important because the spiritual man is not affected by the physical as he has God on his side. The spiritual man understands all he needs is paycheck to paycheck because this is a temporary dwelling place. As for bodily exercise profit little, but godliness is profitable unto all things.
Yes.
Having promise of the life that now is and for that which is to come. Therefore, opportunity let us do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith.
Right.
Paul writes that physical exercise benefits us, but godliness benefits us more. For this life and the life to come.
Right.
And so when we are working on the physical, the outside appearance, we only working on that which is for this life.
Right.
But Paul says there's a better life to come. And so we need to work on the spiritual man. And he says that Galatians 11 says, "You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand." Paul wrote this letter of encouragement to the Galatians, and Paul makes it clear that it was important to him, so he wrote it in his own hand. The rest of the book is written by somebody. He's talking to somebody, and they're recording what he wants to say. But this portion, he decided to write it in his own hand. "Let us not grow weary. In due season we will reap." St. John, all that we do, don't be tired of serving God.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get tired of or be burdened with what we're doing here because it's not in vain.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's more for us to do.
Yeah, right.
"As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those of the household of faith."
Mm-hmm.
We should be kind to one another.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We should be kind to those that are serving, to ministers and pastors and all those that are serving in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
Only what we do with Christ will stand. Everything else would be burnt up like straw. I have been told that the evidence of the indwelling Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. My Bible tells me that the indwelling Holy Spirit evidence is love,
right.
Joy,
right.
Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such thing there is no law.
Right.
That's There's no law against long suffering or gentleness or being good to one another. I just want to say that when we think about our Savior and the goodness that he has done for us, when we just think about how good God has been to us, that he would come down from heaven and take on the form of a man, and that he would live this life and walk this path and suffer with us so that we might be able to partake in a life in heaven, that we might be able to be considered a child of God. And he did it by dying on the cross. He did it by going from judgment hall to judgment hall. He did it by being beaten and carrying his own cross down the Via Lagosa Road to a hill called Golgotha, where he hung between two thieves. And he died. He died the death of a common thief. He did all that so that we could not only enjoy life, but to have it more abundantly.
Right.
And so I'll say to you today, though, don't grow weary, because in due time we will reap.
Amen.
Amen.